guys can look out for me in 2020, pretty much all spring semester, January through May on UWW-TV. I'm planning on doing starting up a new show on our programming here called The Pit Pass, which is a NASCAR talk show. With me and another host, we'll be doing that. So we'll be talking about NASCAR news. And just look out for me on UWW-TV, calling basketball games, softball games, you name it for our spring semester. So that's what I'll be doing.
Tyler Schuerman, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Choi. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening. This program is archived on WGTD.org. Just search for Generation Now and it will pop up. Until next time, bye, everybody.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jeff Rasmussen, a retired Racine Unified teacher and administrator who currently serves as president of the Racine Area Retired Educators Association, Steve Brown, a retired professor of educational leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning and welcome to another Saturday edition of the program Educational Matters, coming to you from the Gateway Campus in Kenosha, broadcasting in the Racine, Kenosha, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva areas. Thanks for tuning in. Did you or perhaps someone from your family, or maybe a close friend or acquaintance, ever have a dream of traveling to another country to study? Well, I was fortunate to spend 6 weeks during the summer between my junior and senior years in 1968 while at St. Catherine's High School in Berlin and Dusseldorf, Germany, and Seefeld, Austria. We had German language classes in the morning and did a lot of touring and sightseeing in the afternoons. However, that was quite different from the foreign exchange program we are going to be talking about this morning. Four of our program guests today are living the dream of being foreign exchange students in Wisconsin high schools. But before we hear from them, I would like to welcome Carrie Jude, who is affiliated with the program for placing these students in our state. So, Carrie, welcome to the show. And would you introduce our listeners to your organization, as well as giving us some information about it and its history of placing foreign exchange students?
Well, hi, Jeff. I would certainly love to share that information with you and our listeners today. I represent an organization called Greenheart Exchange, and our organization was established in 1985 and is currently based out of Chicago. Since our inception, we have placed over 20,000 students, and we currently work with over 60 countries and offer a variety of exchange programs ranging from short-term summer to school exchanges to the standard 10-month stay, which my guests that I have invited with me today are all participating in.
So I guess when I did my Europe experience, I was a short-term experience.
Yes.
Student. Okay. I'm interested in knowing how the students are selected for the program.
That's a great question. All students who apply for this program do undergo a rigorous application and screening process before being selected to participate as an exchange student. And in order to be considered, applicants must have an A or a B average and an ELTA score, which stands for English Language Test for International Students, must be at least 220. Many of our participants are Flex and Yes scholarship winners, which means that in addition to fulfilling all of the basic requirements to be an exchange student, they have also successfully passed multiple rounds of competitive essay writing and testings.
All right. On the other side of the coin, what qualifications are needed for becoming a host family for this program?
Host parents must be at least 26 years old, And all prospective host families must complete an application complete with criminal background checks and personal character references. In addition to these, they are required to have an in-home interview, and they must be willing and able to provide a supportive atmosphere.
Okay. And what are the responsibilities of a host family with this program?
The basic responsibilities of a host family includes providing three meals a day, a bed that is neither an air mattress nor a pull-out couch bed, and transportation to or arrangements for transportation to school.
Okay. So if I'm a listener who might be interested in pursuing my family becoming a host family to an exchange student in your program, who do I contact?
Well, that's a great question. For all of you listeners listening out there, please feel free to visit our website at greenheartexchange.org. Okay. If anyone is interested, please fill out a host family inquiry, and I will be in touch with you shortly over the phone after you do so.
Okay. Well, let's have each of our guests introduce herself by stating her name, country of origin, and then tell us the high school you are currently attending. So let's begin with Anita.
Hi, I'm Anita Fowler. I'm from Romania, Europe, and I'm attending South Milwaukee High School.
Okay. And Hamna, how about you?
Hi, my name is Hamna Ikram. I'm from Pakistan, Asia, and I'm currently going to Wilmot Union High School.
All right. And Maria?
Good morning. My name is Maria, and I'm from Montenegro, which is a small country located in southeastern Europe, and I'm attending Williams Bay High School.
All right. And Natalie?
Hello, I'm Natalie Alashkar. I'm from Lebanon, which is a country in the Middle East, and I'm attending Wauwatosa East High School.
All right, so varied places and varied schools. So how do you like the snow today?
Oh, it's good.
Yeah. All right. Would you explain to our listeners the process, and I think Carrie touched on this a little bit, you had to go through to be considered becoming a selected student and participate in either the YES or the FLEX program. Anita, let's go back to you.
So I came here with a scholarship called FLEX. It's the abbreviation of Future Leaders Exchange Program, and it is founded by the U.S. Department of State. I applied for this scholarship last year in September, and there was a press selection, and I had to write three essays. And from the press selection, 280 students were selected for the semifinals. And in the semifinals, I had reading, listening exams. I had a writing exam where I had to write in 45 minutes three essays. And I had two interviews. I had an individual interview and I had a group interview. From the whole Romania, 1,600 students applied for this scholarship, and only 35 students won this scholarship. And the semifinals were last year in December, and I got the results this year in May.
All right. And Hamna, how about you?
So I'm here in by a scholarship known as YES, which basically stands for Youth Exchange and Study, and it is also U.S. Department of State scholarship for students who live in Muslim-majority countries, so they could come here and build bridges between the countries. So I applied for the program in September last year. There are basically five steps. So you give your preliminary application, and then out of that, you get shortlisted for your first ELTIS test. Then when you get shortlisted, you go for the interviews, and then there's another ELTIS test, and then that's how you get selected. And my final round was also in December, and I got my confirmation letter in January. So that was all how we got selected.
All right. And Maria, how about you?
I'm also here with the FLEX program, and my FLEX journey started in the fall last year. And it's basically made up of three rounds. So the first round was basic English test and like personality test. And then the same day we get results if we pass the first round. So that's when we did the second round as well. It's three essays for 30 minutes, I believe. And week after that, we got results for our third round, which is the last round. And it's the last round has interview, group activity, essays, and test as well. So that's what we all did. And in December, we were kind of done with it. And then we had application 2 weeks to like fill all the application form. And that's basically what we did. And our results were in April. So even if they like kind of knew that we passed, we only found that in April. So it was kind of, it's not really good to wait that long, but I think it was worth it.
All right. And Natalie, how about you?
Okay, so I'm a YES student, and there were several steps to apply to the program. So first we had to apply to the application, to fill in the application for the program that included like personal information and like two essays. And then we had to do a general test, which includes multiple choice. And after that, we have to do a proficiency test, which is like an advanced test that includes reading, listening, and writing. And if we pass this exam, we do a group interview and an individual interview. And then we got chosen according to all of those steps. And out of like almost 1,000 students, only 30 students got accepted. Wow. Yeah.
Okay, well, we've talked a little bit about the YES and the FLEX programs. Carrie, how many students are there currently in Wisconsin? Do you have that data?
I do for our team.
Okay.
So currently there are 15 students living in Southeast Wisconsin. And we have quite a list of diverse countries that they come from this year.
Now, do they ever get together as a group, your team?
Oh, yes. We get together quite often. In fact, this past weekend, three out of the four of these young ladies joined me for a Christmas cookie swap, yep. Which they got to bring cookies from their home countries, which I must say were quite fabulous. They did not survive the night at my house. But we
did
do.
They do the baking?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. All right.
Yes. We regularly get together. Our next get-together will be in January, and we will be taking the kids to a pet expo in Milwaukee the following day so they can experience American pet cultures. They could see rescue pets.
Okay. Well, speaking about culture, now, obviously, English is not your first or native language. Out of curiosity, when did you actually begin formal instruction in the English language? Because you all speak very, very well and are very proficient at English. Let's go back and start with Anita.
So I speak four languages. My native language is Hungarian, and then I speak Romanian. And I started to learn English when I was in third grade.
Third grade. All right. And Hamna, how about you?
So basically, I speak three languages, and I learned English when you go to the school, you start learning English from the kindergarten grade.
Okay.
So it's like a secondary language, a compulsory, which you have to learn.
Oh, all right. And Maria, how about you?
I also started learning English in my school, so since the first grade. But we also, like, it's part of a school system, so we have to learn English. And we also have, in my elementary school, we had Russian, and then I switched to French. There's, like, a lot of languages that I have experience to learn.
So how many would you say you're fluent in speaking?
So I would say, after my native language, which is Montenegrin, I would say English, and then I would say Russian, and then Polish, and then French.
All right. And Natalie?
Okay, so my native language is Arabic. I've learned a little bit French. I'm fluent in English, and I'm learning right now Spanish. So we started learning English back home since we entered school, which is kindergartner, and that's it.
You know, Carrie, that's one of the things I noticed that's a major difference between foreign exchange students who are here and kids in American high schools. It seems that the ability to speak multiple language is so prevalent in the other countries versus here, where you go to high school and you may take 4 or 6 years of, let's say, Spanish or German, but that's about it, where you are all multi language speakers. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So, give me your first impressions of the American school system based on the school you're attending and how it differs from your own educational system. Let's go back to Anita. And tell us again where you're attending.
So I'm attending South Milwaukee High School, and I believe that the American education system is the best because it gives the opportunity for students to find out their strengths, and they have the chance to perform in what they are interested in it. And this is a huge difference between the Romanian education system, because at home I have to study 19 or 20 classes and I don't have elective classes, so everything is mandatory for me. And here I have to study only 5 classes and I can study those classes which I'm interested in it.
So are you you are taking elective type classes?
Yes, exactly.
And what electives are you taking?
I'm taking mostly science, so I'm taking anatomy and physiology, chemistry and forensic science, and I'm taking German too.
All right. Hamna?
So my first impression of the school was that when I first saw students, they don't wear uniform, while it's compulsory to wear uniform in every school in Pakistan.
Okay.
And the lockers was a difference, complete big difference. And in our country, we have to study just like 8 compulsory subjects. There's no electives. So it was a big difference when I came here and I was able to choose the subjects which I wanted. So that was one of the biggest like change.
And again, what high school are you attending?
I'm attending Wilmot Union High
School. Wilmot Union High School. Okay. And Maria?
So I'm attending Williams Bay High School. And I would say that my school in Montenegro is quite different from the one that I'm attending here in, like, every sense. Because, for example, like they said, you can choose subjects here. It's, like, you have, like, a lot of different things. Like, you can choose what you're interested in. And back home, we have 16 subjects that are all mandatory, and you have to, like, study them each year. And it's kind of, like, academically stronger. But it's also, I believe that, like you said, here people are not, like, really, I would not say interested, but, like, they don't really learn other languages at school. So it's mostly just English and a little bit of Spanish. But, like, my friends here say they are not, like, they couldn't have a real conversation in Spanish, which we
right.
all can in English
sure.
or other language, which I think that our system is better in that case.
Okay.
But also, like, like I said before, like that subject thing is pretty much better here. So I think there's a lot of advantages of American high schools, but I also think some things are just better back home.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because it's so different.
Definitely. What electives are you taking at Williams Bay High School?
So I have psychology, I have math, American history, team sports, choir, intro to photography, and English.
Okay. And Hamna, I missed asking you that question. What are some of the elective subjects you're taking?
So my electives are biology, chemistry, the same sciences I'm taking here, but I have art, and yeah, that is all what I'm taking as electives.
Okay. And Natalie?
Okay. So I'm attending Guautosa East High School.
Okay.
There's so many difference between my home school back in my home country and the American high school. So first, the American high school is not as challenging as my home school, my school back in my home country. So like the American high schools give the students a chance to choose what courses they want to study and what courses they're interested in, while the schools in my home country, like, it's required for us to study from 9 to 11 or 12 subjects each year. So that's it. And we don't have lockers in our school in my home country, and we don't have hot lunches, which is here you can find hot lunches in the cafeterias of the American high schools.
So everybody brings their lunch?
Yeah.
And where do you keep your things if you don't have lockers?
Actually, we have, like, a lunchbox with us, like, for our lunch. We can keep in, like, in our bags.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that hold true for all of you? Or?
No, we do have hot lunch.
You do have hot lunch?
Yep, we do.
Okay. I don't have hot lunch, but like we also don't have lockers like anywhere, mostly anywhere in Europe. But in my school, you just like take your things with yourself all the time. So that's how we...
All right, so you're dragging everything with you from class to class.
In my school, so the biggest difference between the American high school system and the Romanian high school system is that the students have their classrooms. So the teachers come in, they teach in our classroom. So that's why we don't need lockers.
Okay, so you don't move, the teachers move.
Exactly. So this means that I have the same classmates for 4 years. Or, for example, it happened for me that I had for 8 years the same classmates because my elementary school and my middle school were the same. So this was like a little bit different because here I have just 6 minutes to go from one classroom to the other one. Yeah. And at home I have 10 minutes and we stay in the same classroom, so we don't move.
Okay. My granddaughter attends the real school, which is like an alternative type high school program. And when she graduates this spring, I think there were only 35 kids in the senior class. And they, this year, are basically taking the same classes. So all day long, it's this group of 35 kids together, moving from class to class. The advantage? Well, they really get to know each other very, very well. And they watch each other's back, and they become really, really good friends. Sometimes I think that's probably to the detriment of the teachers, who think they get a little too talky and they're a little too familiar and a little too friendly with one another. But so I can understand.
And one point I want to add is that in our country, like in my country, Pakistan, like all of the students, they attend private schools, not most of the students, they attend like public schools. So yeah, that's the big difference. And we have like a lot of students in one class. Like in my school, like there were like 10 sections for like 10th class. There were like 10 sections, and then each section had like 45 students. So that is how much like, and the study, it's really, very struggling. Like you have to do a lot of memorization. When I came here, so my friends, they ask me, is it the study's hard or is it easy? And I say it's very easy as compared to what I studied in my country. So yeah.
And how do they react to that?
They were like, oh, then we should move on to Pakistan.
Oh, wow. Okay. So there are no similarities between high school education in your native country and the United States?
No.
Well, I would say not really. I mean, maybe some small similarities, but it's more like just big differences. Like you said, like your daughter, that she always with the same people. That's like in my high school back home, we're always with the same people. Each class, we change classrooms, but we stay with the same group of people every day, every class. And so you don't like change people who are you with like here.
Right, right.
So yeah, I think that's quite different.
So I'm assuming that at South Milwaukee High School, Wilmont High School, Williams Bay High School, Wauwatosa East High School, there's got to be well over 1,000 kids in each building, correct?
Right. Yes, more than
school.
Not really.
No, where are you? You're at
Williams Bay High School.
Williams, okay.
It's pretty small school.
Which is a smaller community. That's near Lake Geneva, isn't it?
Yes, it's next to Lake Geneva.
All right, okay. But how does that compare to the total number of students in your respective schools back home?
So here, I mean, in South Milwaukee High School, we are around 1,300 students. And at home in my high school, we are around 600 students. And my high school is the best Hungarian high school in Romania. So, well, basically we know each other better at home because obviously it's a smaller community of students.
Right.
But here it's better because I have every class. In every class I have different classmates. So it's easier for me to make friends and I meet a lot of people. And for example, I met a lot of people who aren't actually Americans. So they migrated here from Europe, from Asia, and it's so good to talk to them. And it's very good to talk to Americans, too, about the cultural differences. So I always have a great conversation with my classmates, and I believe that it's better that we have different classmates in every class.
So now you're living with the host family in South Milwaukee?
Yes, exactly, in South Milwaukee.
Okay, and South Milwaukee is kind of a suburb of Milwaukee.
Yes.
How does the population of South Milwaukee compared to your hometown in your home country?
So South Milwaukee is smaller than my hometown. Well, I would say that it isn't that small. So the difference is that in South Milwaukee High School, not just students from South Milwaukee are attending this high school. There are students from Racine, Caledonia, so they are from different counties, not just right. from Milwaukee County.
And I think that's part of the, have you heard the term voucher?
Yes.
The voucher program? Okay.
And at home, we have different high schools, different level of high schools, and that's why probably it's, I would say that here, even though South Milwaukee is smaller than my hometown, I have more classmates from different parts of Wisconsin, from okay. different counties.
All right. And Hamna, now you're at Wilmot.
So,
how many kids are going to Wilmot? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, it is like more than 1,000.
Okay.
Because like when I see, I don't know the exact number, but right. like every day I walk through the hallways, I see there's like a lot of students. But it is like less, very less as compared to my private school I attended okay. in Pakistan. Okay. So the exact, I don't know, but like there were like 3,000, above 3,000 students in the school I studied, the school I graduated from. So yeah, that's the big difference.
Okay. And Maria, you're at Williams Bay, and that's relatively
easy. Yeah,
how many kids go there? Any idea?
I think it's around 100.
Oh, wow.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. It's actually like a school district, so it's basically elementary, middle school, and high school all together.
Okay.
But I think only high school has around 100-ish kids, which is pretty small. But it also has advantages, like when you're going to a small place, because you can like meet almost like everyone at that school. And even if you have different classes, you will see that kids again. And it's kind of like easier to like meet them and like spend time with them, connect with them. And always, if you need, like, help, teachers are there. They know you. It's just easier to communicate if there's, like, a smaller place. Also, there's a lot of advantages if you're going to a bigger place, which was kind of my high school back home. It's not, like, really, really big, but it's bigger than I'm from what I'm attending here. So it's around 800 students.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And, Natalie, now you're at Wauwatosa East?
Yeah.
All right. And again, Wauwatosa is a huge suburb right. of Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Any idea how many kids are attending Wauwatosa total?
Almost 1,000 kids attend Wauwatosa East High School.
And how does that compare to back home?
Back home, there are like 500 kids go to school, okay. so almost half the number of students. That's the difference. So, like, personally, I think that attending a school with a large number of students is an advantage for me personally because, like, it helps me, like, feel more confident because, like, being in a school that has 1,000 students is challenging. So, yeah, it helps you gain self-confidence.
Do we have any students who are ever placed in Racine Unified, Carrie?
Oh, yes, we do. We do. We currently have two students in Racine Unified. We have a young lady from Thailand who is attending J.I. Case High School and a young lady from Ukraine who is attending William Horlick High School. Over the past 4 years, we have placed students in Racine Unified each year.
Okay. So which classes are you enjoying the most in your studies at the American High School? Anita?
I'm enjoying the most anatomy and physiology. I've been always interested in medicine, and I believe that this is the perfect preparatory class for it. We do a lot of lab works, we do a lot of experiments, And to be honest, this was like a huge difference for me because in Romania, there's a huge emphasis on theoretical learning. And here, I believe that there's a bigger emphasis on the practical learning. So we do a lot of experiments. And for me, it's easier to study in this way. And taking in consideration that education was always important for me, I believe that this is a better way to study in practical learning.
So instead of talking at me about the subject, let me do it. Let me get involved.
Yes, exactly.
Hands-on learning. And Hamna, how about you?
So there are basically the four classes which I enjoy the most, which includes chemistry and bio because I love science. And art is, like, I'm taking for the first time an art class. So that is, like, really good because we learn different perspectives of art and how to do painting and stuff like that. And the most best class, like, the one I enjoy the most is civics. So that was one thing I wanted to learn, like, American government. So it's so good because I share, like, how our government works and how everything is done in our country. Mm-hmm. So that's the most best class. And the ones I don't like is U.S. history because it's so hard. And I mean, I didn't know anything about U.S. history. And now I'm like a junior. So it's like hard stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I'm struggling with it. But I do like it, but I'm struggling with it. So
even way back when I was in high school, junior year was always American history.
Yep.
That's a class you had to take. All right. Maria?
I will definitely say choir for the best subject because, like, I enjoy music. I went to music school. It's just my thing. And I really found it interesting to have choir as a subject at school because that's not possible in my home country. It's, like, just academically strong, so you don't, like, really have time for, like, fun classes or, like, artistic classes, something you enjoy doing. So I found choir really, really interesting. And I would say American history is the one that I don't really enjoy as well.
Yeah.
It's not about, like, it's just, I really like learning about, like, all the things that the U.S. is being through. But it's just so many assignments and paperwork, yep. And it's just, like, so much work.
Yeah, I would like to add to that. Like, when I was selecting my subjects, she told me that, okay, you have a U.S. history. And I'm like, well, is there no chance I cannot take this subject? And she's like, no, it's a compulsory for junior. And when I came in, there were, like, so much names, like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. I'm like, oh, this is mixed up. So, yeah, it's a little bit hard.
Wow.
It's very interesting that you are learning in junior year U.S. history because in my school, the U.S. history is in freshman year. And now I'm a sophomore, so I'm taking world history. And to be honest, I really wanted to learn U.S. history because I know some things like background information, but I really wanted to learn like deeper information. But unfortunately, I can't take it because I'm a sophomore and I have to take world history. And I've been learning world history since fifth grade, so I know a lot of things.
All right, Natalie, how about you?
Okay, so the class I'm enjoying the most is culinary arts because my hobby is cooking, so it suits me. And I'm enjoying contemporary world problems, which is a class that involves the current events, the problems that's happening around the world. It gives you a background information. It makes you knowledgeable about what problems are happening all around the world. And it gives you the chance to state, like, and to give your opinion about those problems and to give solutions to those problems, which is, like, a very good idea to have as an exchange student.
All right. Thank you. Carrie, we've already talked about the responsibilities and the qualifications of a host family, but I'm going to ask the girls, are there any things that you've done so far with your host families that you'd like to talk about or comment on? Anita?
So when I arrived here, I went with my host family to Wisconsin Dells, and I had a great time there. My host grandparents have a beautiful farm, and we usually go there for weekends, and we stay there. I always have a great time there. And for the first time, I had my first Thanksgiving, because unfortunately in Romania, we don't have Thanksgiving. And it was a very beautiful holiday. My host mom cooked turkey and my host grandmother baked pumpkin pie. So I had a great time. I talked to the other family members. And next week, I'm going with my host family to an NBA match, basketball game. I'm going to the Lakers and Bucks game, so I'm very excited for it.
Oh, and they're playing in Milwaukee at the Fiserv
yes.
Forum. All right. Hamna, how about you?
So my family is like, I got the greatest family, that is what I think. And I don't even have words to thank them. And every moment I spend with them, it's so special for me. But the two main things that I enjoy a lot are like Halloween and Thanksgiving. My mom made, like, on Thanksgiving, it was my first Thanksgiving, and I experienced, like, turkey and stuffing, and which was so good. And also, in our family, that we have a day. So after 4 o'clock, we don't use our phones. We just spend time with our family. So probably each and every day when I spend that specific time with my family, they make it special for me. We play presents. We play different games. Presents is one of them. And, yeah, that is all.
All right. Maria, how about you?
I would like to say that we as Flex and YES students are really thankful for getting host families who are basically volunteering to host us. So I think we should appreciate that and just thank them right now. And I would say that I got an amazing host family, and I'm doing like a lot of different things with them. And we've been to Chicago and Milwaukee Bucks game as well. And this for Christmas, we're going to Portland, Oregon. So I'm really excited about that. And every moment that I spend with them is just amazing.
Are you driving or flying to Portland? Flying. All
yes.
Right. And you had Thanksgiving also with your family?
Yes, of course.
All right. And how was the turkey?
It was amazing. I think it's like we don't have it in Europe. In my country as well. So I think it's really how we spend in here is like in family with all of the family members. And I think that's really nice.
And Natalie?
Okay, so I've been doing so much interesting stuff with my host family. My host family are really amazing. I thank them for everything they've done to me so far. And so one of the best things I've enjoyed was when we went to Chicago to the Museum of Science and Industry.
Okay.
This museum had a genetic part, and I'm interested in genetics, and which is a major I want to study in university. And in the spring break, we're going to Florida to Disney World. So that would be so interesting.
Yeah, so my dad, fun. He took me to Hamilton show in Milwaukee. He was like, it would be easy for you for U.S. history. So he took me there, and it was a great show. That was a great day when we spent.
We may have been at the same show because I saw Hamilton in Milwaukee also.
Oh, that's
what. So how did you like? How did you like? Did you see it also?
No, I wanted to say something else. Sorry.
How did you like Hamilton?
Oh, my God. We were, like, sitting, like, on the top floor.
Okay.
And it was, like, so down, but it was so great. And during the show, I did not know that they were, like, literally singing the song. I thought this was all recorded and they were lip syncing. And when I came out and my dad's like, they were, like, literally singing the song. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're, like, amazing singers. They do so good. So, yeah, that was the greatest thing. It was so good.
American Broadway theater is great. So if you get the opportunity to go to a show, take advantage of that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that before I came here, my host family told me to make a list with the places which I want to visit here in the United States. And my first place was the Grand Canyon. And my host family made me a surprise. So we are going to go next year in February to the Grand Canyon. So first we are going to go to Las Vegas, and then we are going to go to Grand Canyon. And I was like very happy, and I'm very thankful for my host family and what they do. It's amazing.
Yeah. My family is taking me to New York. They asked me, do you want to go to Los Angeles or New York? And I'm like, that's a hard decision, but I would love to go to New York. So I'm going in March to New York.
I just want to quick interject something.
While a lot of our students travel and go to awesome, amazing places, I just want to make it clear that traveling and taking students to amazing places is not a requirement of host families. So if you're interested in hosting, but you're sort of a homebody, no worries, no travel required.
I was just going to say, come over here as a foreign exchange student and, and travel from the East Coast to the West Coast and learn about history. All right. So you've all commented about turkey at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Is there any other food that you see Americans eating that seems strange to you, or something other than turkey that maybe you've tried for the first time?
I tried for the first time pumpkin pie, and it was very tasty. My host parents bake very tasty pumpkin pies. So I'm sure that when I go home, I'm going to bake pumpkin pie, like, for every holiday.
All right. And is pumpkin something that you'd be able to get your hands on to make a pumpkin pie?
Yes. So we have pumpkins at home, but we don't bake pumpkin pies. Okay. So this is interesting. I don't know why we don't do this. We should do it.
I'm going to say you better spread the word.
Yeah.
You know? All right. Hamna, how about you?
Besides, like, eating turkey, I could not eat turkey. That was a sad part, but I enjoyed tacos for the first time because food in my country is, like, very spicy, and here it's, like, bland. So, my parents, they took me to a Mexican restaurant, and I had tacos for the first time, and it was so good. I was so happy.
Now, of course, I'm a different generation than you, but I think it was high school when I finally had my first taco. That wasn't something that my mom cooked at home. So I went out to a restaurant like you did and was able to have tacos. But I was a high schooler.
Yeah, tacos and chili. Chili was also the one
thing.
You
like chili?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Maria?
I would also say tacos that I really enjoy, but I would also say cheese curds, which is something you have to try in Wisconsin, and it's so simple, but it's so good. I love it.
Aren't they good? Have you had them not deep fried, just, you know?
Actually deep fried, yeah.
Okay, but they're really good, too, if you just eat them uncooked. Squeaky cheese is what we call it, because it's kind of squeaky.
Yeah, cheese is amazing.
So, yes, cheese curds, big Wisconsin thing.
Yes.
And Natalie?
I like all the American food, but the best thing is Sloppy Joe's, which is really an American food. And the first time I had Sloppy Joe's was at home, and my dad cooked it, and I could admit that my dad is a good cook. Yeah.
All right. I like a good Sloppy Joe. My mother made a good barbecued hamburger recipe that she got from her mother, my grandma. So... what's the one memory that you think you're going to be taking away with you as you leave the state and then return to your homeland? Now, are you all here for the duration of the school year?
Yes. Yeah.
So
yes.
You're all here till June?
Yes. June.
Yes.
Okay. What do you think the one memory that would be that will stand out the most?
I was in my high school's girls tennis varsity team. I was the second single player. And I've been playing tennis for 10 years, but I've never been part of a team. So my team gave me a lot. They helped me, and I made long-life friends. And for the first time in my school's history, the girls tennis varsity team became the first conference champions. So I'm very proud of my team.
All right. That is excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you.
One memory, I don't want to keep it specific, like, to my host family or my friends, but overall, in general, the love the people of U.S. gave me and the respect, that is probably, like, the biggest thing, which kind of, like, shocked me, too. But I was, like, surprised when, like, people give me love and they give me, like, respect. So that is, like, the biggest, biggest memory I'm going to take home and tell people that people of U.S. are very loving.
Well, that is good to hear.
Thank you.
And Maria?
I would say musical, because I was part of a musical, and we don't have that in my school back home. So I think that is a big opportunity, probably my first and last time, but that is certainly something that I will remember.
And Natalie?
Okay, so there's no one specific memory. Actually, the whole entire year as a rap will be a memory that I will take back with me and to my home country. And I would admit that it will be an unforgettable memory.
Yeah.
And which never dies.
Great experience in this age.
Good. We've already talked about some of the cities you've traveled to or will be traveling to. I had to ask you, Nita, when you went to the Dells, did you ride the ducks?
Yes.
Yes. How did you like the ducks?
Well, for the first time, I was like a little bit like, okay, I don't know if I'm going to do this or not. But my host siblings were like, come on, we got this, you can do it. So I was like, okay, let's give it a try. And I had a great time. I was like, yay.